plain water wouldn't amount to much to me. I just had it licked anyhow. But I got my boat all fixed and got about 30 pounds of jade. I would put my boat in. I'd run about, a half hour. And, of course, my doggy would run down the shore. And I'd stop and beach my boat and get out and wait for my doggy to catch up, let him rest a little, and get in my boat and going again. And boy, I was just doing fine. That's all I was doing. And doggy keeping up well. Everything just went like a song. But the third day, it happened. I run into a rock. Oh, it was a pit, and it just wrecked me, boat, and everything else. Dumped everything out in the river. I managed to get ashore in the fast water, but I was wet as a rat, and everything I had on me was wet, and that's all I wanted, just what I had on my bag. I did happen to have a fish hook in my pocket rolled up on the stick, which I carried nearly all the time after I got used to the country. Well, my boat was gone, my jade was gone, my million was gone, everything was just wrecked, that's all it was good. But I wasn't discouraged, I knew there was a lot more, but I had to eat, of course. The dogs caught up with me, and I started on downriver after I took my clothes off and wrung them out a little, kind of got a rich start. That evening I camped, didn't worry much, I had that million back there, I knew where it was, there was nothing to it, I could get it anytime I wanted to. But I had to have a little grub first. And my dogs seemed to be tickled, too, because they didn't have to run so fast after the boat. But next day, about, sun was up nice, and I run into that rabbit skin rope. I'd had it wrapped up in the canvas, rolled up like I always did. It had floated right along for a long ways and got tangled in the tree. So I went and dug the little rabbit skin rope out. And thought, boy, is that sea. That's kind of like meeting an old friend. But with those fish hooks, I had all the fish I wanted, and I could feed the dogs. But by the time I got it back to Nome again, I was sure ready for a good feed. Hot cakes and syrup did sure go good. I'm telling you. Somehow when you're out living like that, when you want sugar so bad, I don't know what it is. But everybody is that way. Well, here I was back in Nome again. I knew where the million was, had enough money for my immediate needs, wasn't worrying much. Monkeying around town, and I run square into Corks again. And boy, did he have an idea. He knew right square where there was a million, and all we had to just go get it. And he limped a little on his leg, not much. He swore he didn't, but it seemed to me like he did. But he had found a boat, a homemade affair. It is big. It is about 8 feet beam, about 35 feet long. And boy, we was going to get that boat. For a song, and the fellow was going to sing the song himself, and we was going to load that with trade goods, and we was going to Siberia. Now you can see Siberia. Out in Acton. Now they motioned and palavered and kowtowed, and we couldn't figure out what they was talking about, but after they left, we decided they liked us, and they didn't like whoever was on that darn boat. And the next day, here they come with some meat. It's some meat and some fish and a lot of junk that we didn't want. But they thought we was hungry, I think. But how do I know that they liked them from experiences of later years? Now, they don't give you a woman unless they like you. And if they give you a woman, they expect you to marry her and stay there. Even if a girl comes to you, it's come for the idea of marriage, not just as a flirtation. Well, there was a little fella in this bunch. He very skinny, and one leg was shorter than the other. He limped a lot, and he didn't seem to have anything. And that's what we finally figured out. He was always happy, and Corks took a big liking to him. Well, I did too, far as that's concerned, because he was so happy all the time. And we'd give him something, of course, expecting trade back, but he'd give it to somebody else or give it back to us. He just didn't take it, that is all. And Clark got to feel sorry for him. And he said, now I'm going to give that little fella something to make him take it. He said, I believe he's broke. I mean, he didn't have any fur or anything like to trade. So next time he's up there, he'd give him a couple of plugs of tobacco and some tea and a little sugar and give him a little bit of rice. They liked rice. Well, the next day he come back with a little girl. Oh, she was 12, 14 maybe. I don't know how old she was, poor little thing. nothing but just him and her come. And he wanted to give her to Quartz. Well, Quartz never did seem to care much for him. He seemed to be all shy about him. Well, this little fella, he'd push the gal over towards Quartz, and Quartz would push her back, and the girl, she stood there smiling all the time, and it was really an interesting thing. And finally, Quartz, he just got disgusted and scared altogether and took for the cabin, went inside. Well, he was pretty safe there, because they just didn't come into your cabin unless you just insisted on it. We had them in, and they admired it very much, but they'd never come in unless you just motion and coax them in. So he knew that he was pretty well off. Well, then it's up to me to do something about that gal. I knew he didn't want her, and I didn't want her either. And so I motioned Pow out, but the little fellow was awful solemn. He just wasn't, he seemed to be worried or something, I don't know what. And, but finally I got him to take the girl away. Next time he come back, he brought all of that stuff with him. The tobacco was some of it whittled off of it. And he had opened one of the packages of tea, and I imagine used some of the sugar. But here he was wanting to give us back. Well, it is up to me to just make him take it. Quartz wouldn't monkey with him no more. He just let him alone. And so, but I insisted and finally got him to take it away again. So from that on, he was just all right. Friendliest thing in the world, but he would never take anything more when he gave it to him. He'd give it away. He hadn't been able to pay for it, it seems. Well, anyhow, we was there and just didn't know what we was going to do. That's all there was to it. We knew we couldn't go back home in that little dinghy. And so we went down to the camp one day, and there was about 15 men among them, and I'd say 15, 20 women. I never did get a count on them because they were just pretty shy. They'd look out their door, and that's just about all they went to it. But we spotted, they had four or five boats, and one of them big ones that the whole family used. Lord, they're 30 feet long, and they're big, heavy. Well, we knew we didn't want one of them, but they had one about half the size. I'd say 15 foot long and 4 or 5 feet beam. And so we motioned and snickered and talked, and finally we made a swap with them. We gave them our dinghy and the 22 rifle and a couple of pounds of tea that we was for their canvas bar, their hide boat. They make their boat out of timber they pick up, and they split it, and he went down, and they used some whale ribs, and this one was about half whale ribs. They are whale that comes out of their mouth, whatever, the whale's mouth. And this one was a good one, not too heavy. Well, we got it in the water and got it back to camp. Tickled to death, of course. And the next day or two, we got about 100 pounds of rocks in the bottom of that skin boat, and we had it rigged up with oars and found some timber we could hew out oars with. And so we had two set of oars. We had a sail fastened on it, and so we could use a little, and started back home. Well, we made it. When the night come, we had to just set and wait because we had no compass. We couldn't tell where it was going. But we landed back really quicker than we went over in the old tub with the engine, because our engine was working all the time, I'm telling you that. We wouldn't hurry to get back. Boy, we was lucky that a storm didn't catch us, because we'd have just been blowed up suckers if they had that been all been to it. Because we just couldn't have done anything, but ignorance is bliss, you know. That's the way things go in these worlds. Well, to curl up in my little old rabbit skin robe on my side of the world, boy, it really felt good. But I wasn't worrying much anyhow, because I already had that million made. I knew where that jade was. Of course, I told Quartz all about it, and he's feeling good about it, too. But we was broke. We didn't have any money at all. We just broke. That's all they want to do it. Cleaned out altogether, so we had to go to work. Well, couldn't hold a job very good them days for some reason. You know, I was so good at everything I started at. After I'd worked a couple of weeks, if they didn't make me foreman, well, I'd quit. But I held down a job long enough to make a little money and find out a lot, tell you that. Somebody else had went and got some of the jade and brought it out. And several chunks of it laying around their different places. Had it for hold their doors open with it and laying on the bar and every place else. And they had found out that jade wasn't no good. If the jade was all right, if you knew jade, but anybody went up there, they'd just have to go up and they'd have to know jade because they, we learned from fellows there that knew jade that there was jewel jade and there was jade and there was jade. And most of this wasn't any good at all when you just look at that you might have a piece that weighed 100 pounds and maybe in that 100 pound, why you'd have a piece as big as a marble that'd be good. And it's just, of course, when you got a good piece, it's worth fabulous money. That was right. But to just go and get a load of it and bring it back, why, that was just nuts. That's all there was to it. So there was my million gone, me broke, and having to work. Well, by fall, I was hooked over. It's just, of course, when you got a good piece, it's worth fabulous money. That was right. But to just go and get a load of it and bring it back, why, that was just nuts. That's all there was to it. So there was my million gone, me broke, and having to work. Well, by fall, I was hooked up enough so I could get by again and ready to start at some other crazy thing that I didn't know anything about. Eskimos, what's interesting me? They're the most hospitable people on earth. You come into one of their camps or igloos or sod houses in wintertime, or you used to, not now, of course, but early days, you come into their sod houses or anything, and they would, the men would come out and take care of your dog team for you, feed it, put it away. You could come into their camp with a whole sled load of trade goods and leave it plumb open because they just didn't steal. That's all there was to it. In fact, they would go out on the beach and find driftwood. Now, driftwood is something that they think an awful lot of. They're always looking for that. But they'd find a piece of driftwood. They'd lay a little stick up on it or a rock or something, and nobody else would take it. That was theirs. They would mark it. Somebody else had found it. And they just didn't take it. That's all there was to it. It wasn't done. And to lie, they just didn't seem to know how to lie. Well, in reality, they didn't have anything to lie for or about. If they would go out hunting and come back and say they got a walrus, why, the next day they'd find out they didn't anyhow. Or the same with anything else. It was all right there in that one little village, and they just didn't lie. Well, it's...